I don't know if we have a slide on the capital committee, but it's been kind of a process we've been talking about. Maybe we don't. We'll leave that up because that's always good to think about. But anyway, working on some capital projects, looking at some renovations to the education area. We had a number of congregational listening meetings where we were discussing what the project was and potential costs and all of that stuff. Out of those meetings, a committee was formed to kind of get on top of this and flesh out what was going on, the capital campaign committee. We've had a couple of meetings. There's a number of members. You can find out who they are. Also, if you're interested in participating in this process, talk to Blair. Stand up, Blair, if you would. There's Blair. He is leading our committee. And talk to him. He'll get you positioned. We've kind of broken into two teams. One is the team that we'll call it the building committee. They're kind of involved in what's actually being done, who is going to be doing the work, and what that looks like. And then there's another finance committee, which will be involved in looking at how are we going to get it paid for. So those are the two main teams that have sprung out of the capital campaign. And we've had a few meetings looking for more participation. If anybody's interested, be praying about that just in general. We'll see where God leads in the process. That's the most important piece. So I think that's all I have for you. So thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks for being a deacon. Just a reminder, a deacon, if you ever want to know what a deacon is or does, they are servers. And so, if you ever want to know what an elder does, they're the ones that shepherd. Pretty simple. But Pastor Jared, we coming up. Pastor Jared's going to be bringing the word this morning on forgiveness. It's an easy topic, right?
Yeah, right.
I've never had to forgive Jared for anything. And he's never had to forgive me for anything, right?
I think you've had to forgive more.
I'm going to pray for you. Is that okay? Cool? All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing Pastor Jared back from Ethiopia. We thank you for him just this morning, Lord, that the words that he shares, that they would be your words, and that they wouldn't glorify him or any of us, but that they would glorify you. And so if you would be with him this morning, that's what we ask, that your spirit would empower him in what he shares this morning on forgiveness. Lord, also open our hearts, open our ears to hear what it is you're saying to us this morning. And based on what Jared shares, maybe how we can live differently. We offer all this up to you, Lord Jesus, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yep.
Thanks, man. Yes, I just got back from Ethiopia, and no, I'm not going to talk a whole lot about that because then you wouldn't come on the 14th of April and hear more. But I will say, it was so exciting for me to be there to see what my has always been from the very beginning, what I've been excited about is to see them build sort of self-sustaining, you know, I'm not a fan of forever giving money to somebody, right? I mean, but to help people, and this time when I was there was so cool. I attended a training. There were 22, I believe, of the families in the partnership, some of your kids that you sponsor, their parents were in this training on how to build a business. And that is so exciting to me to see that kind of thing beginning to happen. So anyway, but what I also learned is that we're all the same. We had all these games and things planned for. We had what we call a teen night, where it was all the older kids in the program were going to come, and we engaged with them. Because a lot of times, a lot of stuff we do, the teams go over there and they do this like little kiddie stuff, and you see the 14-year-olds standing in the corner like, really? Right, so we intentionally kind of gathered the older kids, and we were going to do some games and things, and of course, well, we were all in dirty clothes with nothing that we had brought with us. Every bag we took was lost for about 4 days. So we went, had nothing, empty-handed, and we were talking. Well, what should we do? And they asked me to talk, and they asked me to address some things. This was teenagers. They asked me to address. Listen to your parents. I'm like, oh, well, okay, that sounds familiar. They asked me to address watching out who you hang out with and whether or not you choose drugs and other substance abuse. Oh, yeah, okay, that sounds familiar. And they asked me to address, and this might blow some of your minds, racism. because there's a few different ethnic groups in Ethiopia that, and there's some racial tension. Those were the things they asked me to address, and I thought, well, I've done that before. Do that all the time, because people are people, right? And I thought about that, and I'm like, you know, what we all want is, well, identity, connection, agency, the things we keep talking about. We want to have our needs met, and we try all these shortcuts and all these ways to get our needs met. It doesn't matter where we live. It doesn't matter how much we have. I mean, I've often looked at Ethiopians and thought, man, you're richer than I am because you're not tainted. You're not ruined by the wealth and prosperity and comfort of the West. One of my favorite songs says, you know, that we're shackled by our couches. It's an interesting concept. But ultimately, we're all the same. We're all trying to take shortcuts to our comforts, to our needs, to our longings, all while Jesus is ready to give them to us. And so this is the context, right, that I had this week, waking up at 2 in the morning or something in Ethiopia and thinking about, what am I going to preach about when I finally make it home and I get to wear something clean? I may never wear the same pair of jeans 2 days in a row again, by the way. That's crazy talk. No. But that's what, you know, I kind of want to talk about, this line, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And these are probably, I would say these are definitely the two hardest things for human beings to do. Admit that I'm a debtor, right? That I owe something to someone. In earlier times, people were humiliated in, you know, public, some of those little machines you see where you put your head and your hands through, right? They were imprisoned all for being a debtor. We don't like to talk about how much credit card debt we carry, right? That's a taboo topic. You know, we don't want to be embarrassed by that or shamed by the amount of times we've been to the mall and we didn't have the money to pay for it. And we get the bill in the mail and we feel terrible, and then we go back to the mall and we get more stuff on the credit card, right? It becomes a cycle, but that this debt creates in us shame. And then, of course, we don't like to say, I'm sorry, because it implies that something we did or something we said or something we are is insufficient. It's not enough. I'm supposed to be enough, but when we say I'm sorry, it requires an admission that we are not enough. And we certainly don't want to think about being indebted to God, because after all, God is love, right? How can love hold out a bill? Love is all about erasing debt, right? And ignoring it and forgetting about it. Let's just not talk about debt. So we don't want to say, forgive us, because we don't like to hold on, ignore that. And we certainly don't want to forgive others, right? When they owe us, I paid for your lunch last week. When are you going to call and take me and repay that loan? You said something cruel to me once, and I am going to squeeze every last drop of humiliation, punishment, suffering out of you until I feel that that has been repaid, because you owe me. It's so funny. We have this like tendency, right, to think that we are divine, unerring. I can't make mistakes. But when someone sins against us, woo, I will take it out on you until I know it has been dealt with fully. We want to take God's place, don't we? And then we come in here and we pray, God, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Some traditions, the one I grew up in, says trespasses. This is because, really, the reason this kind of gets in there, Jesus in Matthew, when he gives us our version of the Lord's Prayer, for the most part, immediately picks up, starts talking about when people trespass against you. So these words are very similar. Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer in Luke 11 says, "Forgive us our sins as we have forgive everyone who is indebted to us." They're all very similar, these ideas. Sins, debts, trespasses. They're all wrongs that we commit and are committed against us. It's the human condition to live around people that we hurt and that hurt us. It's the reality of life. Now, it's easy to recognize this as an objective truth, right? That we probably all are happy to say, yes, I don't always do things right. But it's harder when our emotions get involved. This is why it's hard in the moment sometimes to say, I'm sorry. Even in those moments when we know we probably got it wrong a little bit, right? We're quick to run to self-defense and justification. Has anyone in here, like me, ever apologized like this? You don't have to raise your hands, okay? This has been my apology more than once. I'm sorry that I yelled at you, or, you know, sorry that I, but if you hadn't, then I wouldn't have. Right? We do that because we still want to defend ourselves. This is why, right? This is why I did that. And we still don't want to forgive. We want to punish, right? I don't think I'm alone, especially on the laughter. I know I'm not. You ever know deep down, right, in some situation that you were wrong, but you would go to the grave before you said it? Not a chance. I'm betting there are some of us who are in the middle of that. Maybe even a years-old conflict where we're not going to say we were wrong. This prayer, this line, calls us to actively engage in apologies and forgiveness. And we struggle, here's the key, we struggle with that because we love ourselves more than we ought to. Remember this, the things that we love, always, every single time, the things that we love steer the direction of our lives. The choices we make, the things that we do, are always motivated by what we love. And misplaced loves, misdirected affections, will always drive us into the rocks. And I know some of us are speeding toward the reef, refusing to admit that we've been wrong, refusing to admit that there's something that we need to be forgiven for, maybe holding on to some bitterness because we want to squeeze a little more sorrow out of that person that hurt us, right? And we're all doing that. And I want us to see the way out. I want us to see a way to go a different direction, to sail the ship of our lives out toward deep blue waters, toward freedom. I want us to have something better. And of course, the answer to that is the gospel. And I think, in particular, I think John, his disciple, gives us something that maybe will captivate our hearts. Something that will give us a better love, if we get it. I'm gonna read this. I'm gonna read from 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 5. And I love what he says. And like I say, I think we'll see how it gives us a better hope and a better heart. He says, "This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaim to you. God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, let me just think through this sort of in line of forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And let me point out, first thing that he says, that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Now, again, most of us know objectively, right? Yes, okay, I have sin. And I also know that there are some of us here who, maybe because of a cultural background, maybe because of just bad teaching, maybe because of, frankly, cruel parents, we might rebel against the word sin. I know there are some of us that don't really like the language of sin. It's not a complicated word. It literally means missing the mark. I mean, you know, if you run a cash drawer, right, at work, and you come up at the end of the day and you're a quarter over or short, you've missed the mark. And I've done that. I was $100 short one day. That was a bad day. We all miss the mark at some times or another. Jesus makes it clear over and over again. Jesus said this, unless your righteousness surpasses the scribes and the Pharisees, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, when he said that, we miss this. When he said that, it made everyone in the room gasp because there was no one more righteous. They literally went to great pains to get it right, to follow the law, to do what was right. And here Jesus comes along and he says, oh, no, no, no. Lust is adultery. Anger is murder. Over and over again, he makes it clear. We all miss the mark. And we get that. Right? I don't think there might be a couple of us here who are like, no, I never do. But I think for the most part, we all know objectively that we've messed up from time to time. So I'm not going to dwell on that. But here's the thing I want us to know, I want us to think about, is that in spite of knowing objectively, oh, yeah, I mess up, I get it wrong sometimes, all of us here are more prone in the heat of the moment, right, or about a specific situation to say, I was right and they were wrong. I am. Because for some reason the rocks on the shore are more attractive to us than the deep water. But this passage, I think, gives us a compelling reason to choose the deep water. It's two choices. Walk in the light or walk in the darkness. Here's how you walk in the darkness. First, simply say you have no sin. That's all. Refuse to admit that you might be wrong about stuff. Wrong to talk to someone on Facebook the way you did last week. Wrong to maybe admit that some opinion you once held turns out that wasn't right. Maybe some judgment you made of some other person, maybe the way you spoke, maybe the way you acted toward another person. Refuse to admit, continue to say, no, 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 I have no sin. Defend yourself as often as possible unless you get caught red-handed and then make up excuses for why you did it. This will make sure you get to walk in the darkness. Here's another way. Pretend to have fellowship with God and lie about who you really are. I'm not making it. This is John, okay? We say we have fellowship with him. While we walk in the darkness, we lie. Pretend to have fellowship with God. Keep hidden your true self. Bury it. Don't let anybody know. Make sure you're a different person Sunday morning than you were Saturday night. You know, that whole thing. That will help keep you in the darkness. Truth, lies, light, darkness. You only get one. You get to choose which of those you want. Now, fortunately, John also tells us how we walk in the light. It's one thing. There's only one thing. Let me stress this. Only one thing that we've got to do, according to this text. when we're walking in the light. Verse 9, confess our sins. Confess. Now, I know people who hear that verse, right, and they agonize because they think they got to come up with a list. Oh, my gosh. And I know people who are terrified of the fires of hell because they're afraid that they may have forgotten to confess something. They just, is there something else I'm leaving out, right? That is a classic case of completely missing the point. Don't do that. To confess simply means to agree, to acknowledge. It's simple. It's to come to God, who sees everything, and say, I missed the mark. I sin. I'm a sinner. I blew it. I blow it. I make mistakes. In fact, and here's the key, in fact, I am probably more wrong than I am right. I think that's really an important part. He's been seeing this your whole life and saying this. The question is, will we agree? Will we come to him and say, I am more wrong than right. Lord, help me. See, we like to come to the table with something. This idea of grace that we have, we love it because it's free, but we also like to bring a little something. Look, Jesus, look what I brought. A little bit of goodness or a little bit of value. Earlier in a different book, in the Gospel of John, John said this, in him, Jesus, was life, listen, and that life was the light of men. Not some of the light of men. Not, it was brighter than yours. No. You want light? It's over there. That's it. You don't bring something. There's no light in us. There's no good in us. We don't come to the table and say, gee, thanks for setting the table. Here's my potato casserole. We come to the table and we say, Jesus, help. I have nothing. Nothing to bring. Then we get to be in the light. That's it. Two choices, truth, lies, light, darkness, self, or Christ. Two paths. Which one we choose will always depend on what we love most. If we love ourselves, we will not confess that we are messed up and broken and need repair, because we're pretty good. We will always pretend to be whole, even though we're not. If we love ourselves, we will say, I have no sin. But listen, the more we love Jesus, the easier it is to say, he rescued me. It's not about my fame or my credibility or my righteousness, right? I am not enough. The more we love Jesus, the easier it is to say, he is enough. The more we love him, the quicker we are to let go of that glory or fame that we want for ourselves by being right and give it to him by being the one who rescues those of us that aren't right. And there's a payoff. He is the only way into the light. Only he can actually give us freedom. I mean, it is shocking to me over and over and over how the biblical writers, how mentors in my own life too, by the way, and me up here, have to say, stop trying to rescue yourself. Stop trying to be good enough. Stop trying to prove that you're somehow worthy and throw yourselves completely on the grace of Jesus Christ. Some of us desperately need to hear this. Actually, no, all of us. All of us need to hear this because all of us always try to elevate ourselves, find the answers, get the answers, get prove that we are enough. We're not. All of us, we're all people who walk half in the light and half in the darkness, right? Trying to tread that line. We want to walk in the light. We see how nice it is over there. And here's the thing, every one of us has a suitcase full of garbage, guilt, shame, regret, things we know we are, things the devil says you are, that you believe. And we dig a deep hole, and we bury that suitcase, thinking we're good. But the problem is, there's a chain around the handle, and it's wrapped around our ankle. And we're standing in the dark, anchored to this suitcase of regret. And of course, from where we stand, we can look over and see the light. And we can even talk to people in the light. We can pretend we're in the light. Oh, yeah, things are great. But we're anchored by our filthy pride, and we refuse to dig up the suitcase and expose it. But that is how we get in the light. Dig up the suitcase. Open it up. Expose everything to the light. And then boom, suddenly we're free. That's all it takes. We live in such shame, heartache, loss, angst, worry, because we're worried about the suitcase. Because we're worried about ourselves. Because we love ourselves. We want to protect ourselves and protect our reputations, right? What other people might think of us. And it causes us to live like this. But when we open it up and expose it, we're free. And here's what I want. Here's what God wants, and what I believe. I know with certainty that this is what is best for every single one of us. Dig up the suitcase. Expose it. Let it out. Be who you are. So we can walk in the light. So we can be free. So that Jesus is the one who gets the fame for being right. Jesus, not you, not me, is the one who is known as being enough. See, when your garbage comes out, people look and go, right. But then they go, oh, but Jesus loves you anyway. Now, in that scenario, who is the one that gets famous? Who is the one that people look at and go, wow, look at that? Suddenly, your mess doesn't matter anymore. His love does. We love him more than we love ourselves. Then Jesus gets the fame, not us. This is the gospel. And it really is that simple. Confess. Agree that you are in need, that you are not enough, that you cannot hold yourself together, that you cannot find the answers, and that you cannot walk in the light unless you are being carried into the light. It's that simple. It's the gospel. And it really is that painful. It really does cost that much. There's an old song that says, all the fitness he requires is to feel your need of him. Do you feel that? Do you feel your helplessness, your desperation, and your need? Do you have a sense that baggage is just dragging you down as it gets heavier and heavier? Jesus can free you of it completely and fully, every bit of it. He can lead you out to walk in wholeness, in the light. He is absolutely worthy. He is absolutely enough, and he will absolutely do that. He is wonderful. He is lovely. He is perfection. You are not. If only we could somehow find a way to let go of our lesser loves, our weaker loves, our dying loves. You are dying. I am dying. You're not going to live forever. Why should you love yourself so much that you destroy the 70, 80, 90 years you get? breaks my heart that we would love ourselves more than Jesus and drive our lives against the rocks because we have these lesser loves. We got to let go of that. Our pride, our longing to have fame and glory for ourselves, our longing to come to Jesus and say, let it go. Give up. Come crawling on your face to Jesus and find a greater love. One who says, no, you will never be enough on your own, but I will make you enough. And he will carry us into the light where we can't walk by ourselves. This is what we mean when we come to him and we say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We mean, Lord, I am not enough. You are. Help me to love you more than I love myself. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, I confess I love myself more than I love you. I confess that it costs me pain, heartache, and loss. And I know that the only answer for that is a greater love for you. Help me to see you as the one that rescues me from myself. And help that draw my heart closer to you. You capture our hearts. Lord, I pray desperately that you would bring us in humility to yourself and help us to love you more than we love ourselves. Thank you for this prayer. And I pray that as we get it into our hearts, it will shape those same hearts. As we pray, our Father who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever.
Remain seated for this song. All right.